This episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
OG, I know you're already a member, but I wonder if the rest of our audience knows that becoming a member at Navy Federal Credit Union could help you save and earn more. Their certificate options could earn you more than standard savings accounts with competitive rates. Not all financial institutions offer you as many choices for savings options as Navy Federal does. For example, you could start your savings journey with a low minimum deposit, add money at any time, and watch your savings grow. Thanks to flexible terms, you can use Navy Federal's savings option for all kinds of goals, short or long term. Considering a big home improvement project, maybe you want to consolidate debt. You could borrow up to 100% of your home's equity with a fixed-rate home equity loan with zero closing costs, or easily borrow as you go with a home equity line of credit. Both options could help make life's big expenses seem more manageable. To learn more, visit NavyFederal.org. At Navy Federal, our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. Membership required. Terms and conditions apply. Loan subject to approval.
Hello. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Live from Joe's mom's basement, it's the Stacking Benjamin Show. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and are you prioritizing your time or your energy? To help you with both, today we welcome the author of Anti-Time Management, Richie Norton. Wonder how he'll feel about me prioritizing Grand Theft Auto. In our headlines, there's a hot new ETF on the market. Should you buy some? We'll explain how it works. Plus, we'll throw out the Haven Lifeline to someone who's definitely from Australia. And then I'll share some mysterious trivia. And now, two guys who prioritize getting you both more time and more money, Joe and O-J-J-J-J-G.
Happy Wednesday, Stackers, and good morning to you, Doug. How are you today, man?
I'm super, Joe.
We got Richie Norton here, who is not only a phenomenal time management expert, but he also is a surfer. So
right on, dude.
Yes, dude, we're gonna ride this wave. Oh, and there it comes, the voice, the magic voice across the card table. Mr. OG's here as well. Good morning, my friend.
It's morning. I was up way too late and I didn't get my sleep, but
oh boy,
I do my best.
Wait a minute. You just gave him all these props about his voice. Is there any fan mail talking about OG's voice?
Like, oh, not, God, not, no, voice. I'm just, can not I once. Be a fan? Can I be a fan? Is it okay if I'm a fan?
We all have our strange predilections, so sure.
Big fan. Well, we got a great show today. We've got Richie Norton. You know, OG, it is almost the fourth quarter. I was at my strategic coach class
four,
and she's like, I don't know if you know this
game. Where all the kids put their hands up.
It's time to end the year on a bang. But where did the beginning of the year go? I mean, I thought, isn't there supposed to be a beginning, a middle, and an end? I feel like we skipped the first two parts.
No, it sounded a lot like this.
Maybe for the stock market? Who knows?
We have some lovely parting gifts for you.
And a set of steak knives 2022 as you go bye-bye.
If you can afford them.
We need a great end of the year to go out on a bang. So Richie Norton's going to help us take control of our time by not focusing on our time. Before that, lots of great headlines. But even before that, you know, guys, I was out washing my car. And while I'm washing my car, you know how your brain goes in random directions? Mine started thinking about this. This episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they can also be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. Oh, God. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right. U.S. Cellular, a company that sells phones, wants us to put down our phones and to see what we find. Learn more at uscellular.com/built-for-us. Isn't that amazing?
Please don't share your mental thoughts with us anymore. Deep, private places.
It is fabulous. And the fact that you can click those links and help us keep podcasting is just amazing. We got a great show. Richie Norton coming down to the basement. But before that, man, do we have a headline for you.
Hello, darlings. And now it's time for your favorite part of the show, our Stacking Benjamin's Headlines.
Our headline today comes to us from Investment News. That's an industry rag for financial professionals. I like OG going to this spot because of the fact that when I moved over from financial planning over to the media side, I noticed that the discussions financial planners are having and the discussions that the public are having are often two different things. And so to go to some of these industry publications from time to time for new listeners is a lot of fun. You can see what the other side of the table's thinking about. This piece written by Jeff Benjamin. Single stock ETFs take the field, but many yellow flags are falling. I love the Friday Night Lights reference there. Mr. Benjamin writes, welcome to the brave new world of single stock ETFs and all the fallout that comes with it. With the first batch of the latest ETF innovation, I would put ETF innovation, OG, in air quotes, hitting the market in July, the wealth management space, including some regulators, appears to have been caught flat-footed by the reality of funds offering such exposure to the great unwashed masses of investors. We'll get into that here in a second. But first, I think, OG, we should talk about a single stock ETF. If I'm going to go buy my GameStop stock, I want to own my GameStop. Why would I buy a single stock ETF instead of buying the real deal?
I can't see any reason that you would. This seems like the world's weirdest solution to a problem that nobody has.
Well, here's what happens. The single stock ETFs, OG, actually are all, for the most part, leveraged versions where, hey, you know where you could go buy an option and maybe leverage your money that way? Nope, we're going to do it much like the Wisdom Tree ETFs where we can 2X, 3X up or down the S&P 500, let's say, or the NASDAQ or one of the other indexes. This is now the same thing for individual stocks.
Sounds dumb.
Nate Gerasi, president of the ETF store, says the people who should be using these ETFs are sophisticated traders, and the vast majority of investors shouldn't even be thinking about touching them.
I would argue that even sophisticated investors shouldn't have anything to do with it. I can't imagine that this is economically sound as it relates to a cost structure relative to, you know, like you said, if you want to have leverage in your portfolio, you can do it with your own trading or you know, margin or whatever you want to do. This seems like a pretty sophisticated way for the fine folks at whoever created this, you know, this idea to part you from your money and give it to them.
Right around the same time the Securities and Exchange Commission was approving the first single stock ETFs in mid-July, SEC Commissioner Caroline Crenshaw published a memo warning of the potential harm to investors who might not understand the nuances of ETFs designed for active traders. Here's what she writes about, OG. She writes about for options on most platforms, you got to get special. Like if you go to a TD Ameritrade or you go to a Schwab,
yep,
you're going to have to get special approval to do options. Robinhood, whole different game. By the way, Robinhood, I think Robinhood, you're in. Hey, let's trade options. Let's lose a bunch of money. But if I'm at a broker like a Schwab, I've got to fill out some things that prove that I might know what I'm talking about. The bad news is now it's an ETF. What she's worried about is some investors going to stumble into this thing and go, oh, look, I can buy GameStop as an ETF. I heard ETFs are safer, right? Somebody that just knows nothing about nothing, just enough to be dangerous. Right. Hey, this is GameStop. Oh, I'm going to go buy my GameStop as an ETF because I heard that's safer than buying an individual stock.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine that this is going to last a very long time, you know, as it relates to a product line or even, well, individual product or product line. Leveraged ETFs, leveraged mutual funds are really designed for single day exposure. And what most people don't understand when they're thinking about, because arguably you could say, well, take the single stocks side of it out of there. You could say, well, if the market goes up 70% of the time, why would I not want 150% of 70% of the time? You know, why would I not want two times that? That, I mean, yeah, there's a chance, you know, this year I lost my money and it sucks. But most of the time it goes up. So most of the time I should be profitable, right? Doesn't that kind of check with the math? And the problem is that these leverage ETFs reset on a daily basis. So you don't carry over your gains from previous days or your losses in some cases. So it's like literally a day-to-day decision. And because the way how that works, you can't hold it for more than a day. Well, you can, but you're not going to get the benefit of, you know, you can't invest on it on January 1st, on December 31st and go, oh, the S&P is up 10. Therefore, my leveraged S&P fund must be up 15 because it's going to take all those individual days. If there's a day in there that's really bad, you know, we just had one a week ago, that will wipe out, you know, days and days and days and weeks and maybe even months of potential gains because of one day, because you get 1.5 times or 2 times or 3 times or whatever your number is. So those products are really designed to be traded in the morning and sold before the close. And this is the same thing for these. Again, I can't see any reason why you'd want to do it. It's pure speculation.
Let me give you some examples.
Go to the casino. Wouldn't that be more fun? Like, isn't playing roulette or craps or blackjack like an exponentially more fun way to spend $1,500 or like whatever you're about to put in this ETF?
It would totally be more fun. Let me give you some examples from this piece. The AXS 1.5 times PYPL Bear Daily that invest in PayPal gives you inverse exposure to PayPal holdings, where AXS 1.5x PayPal Bull Daily offers leverage exposure to PayPal. Granite Shares has a 1x short Tesla Daily, TSLA, which gives you short exposure to Tesla. And of course, they once again have 1.25x long Tesla Daily. Also the Apple Bear, Apple Bull. So that's the type of thing that we're looking at here. Here's the thing.
You're literally trading day to day. You're going, I think that Apple's going to go down today. Therefore, I'm going to buy this ETF. I will profit if Apple goes down. I think Apple's going to go up today. Therefore, I buy this and I get 1.5x of whatever Apple does. But if you're wrong, it goes the other way, right? So if you think it's going to go up 1% because earnings are coming out and it goes down 2%, well, you really went down 3 because you get the wrong thing at the wrong time. It's just, this is crazy.
We've got regulators, to your point, OG, saying that these may not be along that long. Regulators swooping in all over the place, many state regulators. They mention Massachusetts here in the piece, but also talk about other states that are starting to warn people and also to try to get these removed so that people can't even buy them. But here's my question. Do we need the regulator to take care of that? I mean, truly, on one hand, I can see that, and this may get to the bigger question that, you know, that we've had about people getting into different types of investment now that we've had the rules around crowdfunding, right? That have kind of changed the game where now we can buy pieces of things that we weren't able to buy pieces of before. So regulators kind of moving away, letting small investors do whatever they will do with their money, right? Do whatever they want. In this case,
well, there's some personal responsibility, 100%. You know, I agree with that. But like you said, Joe, there are a whole bunch of people, in fact, probably the vast majority of people who don't have a lot of financial prowess or financial education, and they hear the buzzwords, right? You hear, like you said, the ETF, or you hear passive or something like that, and you go, oh, that's what I should do. And my buddy said Tesla's good. I heard that, so I'll just do this Tesla thing. And it turns out to be, you know, obviously a really wrong fit. There's no use for this type of product in the marketplace. This is the marketing department going, what do you think we can charge for this? You know, and somebody drawing it up and going, I think we can get $100 million in this thing pretty quick before they wise up to it. You know,
these things are also creating chaos in the stock market. OG, a piece from Yahoo Finance written by Sam Potter says leveraged ETFs added to stock chaos with $15.5 billion in selling. It seems like lately what's been happening is these leveraged ETFs, they settle up at the end of the day, right? So a lot of these people that are looking for that one day shot, when they see which way it's going about 20 minutes before, knowing that the ETF's going to reset at the end of the day, start making all kinds of crazy moves. And so the last 20 minutes of trading sessions throughout the summer have become increasingly volatile, as they say that a lot of these, this new day trader movement, which started with the pandemic, these people are just looking for swings. They don't care which way it swings. They're just looking for swings.
But that's such an insignificant amount of traders that they don't need to have a special product for it.
Agreed. But we saw, you know, those traders moving GameStop and Bed Bath & Beyond earlier.
Yeah, but they weren't the small traders moving Bed Bath & Beyond and GameStop.
It was the big ones lumping on.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, every time you guys say regulate, I've just been laughing the whole time you've been talking about this, because you keep talking about regulators, and all I can think of is Warren G and regulators. And then what makes me laugh is I'm just thinking of Bert from Sesame Street. Have you guys seen that YouTube where... on the YouTube machine where somebody overdubbed regulators with Sesame Street characters?
No, but I'm just going to go out on a limb, Doug, and say that I think that SEC commissioners probably look more like Bert than Warren G.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
Just going to go out on a limb. Sadly.
Oh, it is so worth everybody's time to go look that up. Sesame Street, Warren G, regulators. Oh God, it's great. You can't be any geek off the street. You got to be handy with the steel. You know what I mean?
You're a regulator. We will. You know what we'll do? We'll put that in the 201, our newsletter, which everybody should be getting. Our newsletter has a higher open rate than any of the personal finance newsletters that I follow. And I'm super.
Is that like an official stat?
Yes. We have a higher open rate. Actually, it was funny. I was at FinCon and I was talking to some people and they're like, yeah, nobody opens my email. Nobody opens ours. And I'm like, 47% of people opened our last one. And we sent one out and they're like, well, how often? You probably only send one a quarter. I'm like, we send 2 a week. Really? You email people that much and they open it? Yes. Cause it's really freaking good. Brooke Miller does a great job, by the way. I'd love for one of us three dorks
subscribers
to take.
Are me and Doug, and we rotate. Who opens? Dude, it's your turn.
That's exactly.
God, is it Wednesday already?
I just opened
it.
It's
your turn to open.
StackyBenjamins.com/201, and you'll get to see a Warren G. We'll get dinged by YouTube if we play it here, so I think we'll have to let it go this time. Hey, coming up next is Richie Norton. Richie is one of my favorite people to talk to, and this guy has just a huge following. Speaking of book tour, Richie Norton had one of those book tours. You know, we were averaging 35-ish people in the room per night, and Richie went on a book tour and was averaging several hundred people in the room wherever he went. So feeling a little jealous of Mr. Norton. But who is he? He's an award-winning author, serial entrepreneur. He has created several different companies, and what he found was that time management was really, really important to him. And he found out in the worst way possible, which I'm definitely going to ask him about. And if you're lucky enough that you haven't had something bad happen to you where you had to wake up, well, hopefully today, Richie and I can help you use his experience so that you don't get the wake up call in just the worst way, but, time to manage your time differently, I think. But Doug, before we get to Richie, I think you got some trivia for us.
I do, Joe. Hey there, Stackers. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. And today, in 1937, The Hobbit was released. It's hard to believe J.R.R. Tolkien invented Bilbo Baggins without the internet or, you know, like hallucinogenics. Mordor could have been the result of a few bad mushrooms. That's all I'm saying. Speaking of ancient lands, there was an archaeological treasure you're not going to believe was privately owned as recently as 1915. It was purchased at auction. Was it Stonehenge, the Sphinx, or the heads of Easter Island? I'll be back right after I go shine my ring. Oh, gee, I know you're already a member, but I wonder if the rest of our audience knows that becoming a member at Navy Federal Credit Union could help you save and earn more. Their certificate options could earn you more than standard savings accounts with competitive rates. Not all financial institutions offer you as many choices for savings options as Navy Federal does. For example, you could start your savings journey with a low minimum deposit, add money at any time, and watch your savings grow. Thanks to flexible terms, you can use Navy Federal's savings option for all kinds of goals, short or long term. Considering a big home improvement project, maybe you want to consolidate debt. You could borrow up to 100% of your home's equity with a fixed-rate home equity loan with zero closing costs, or easily borrow as you go with a home equity line of credit. Both options could help make life's big expenses seem more manageable. To learn more, visit NavyFederal.org. At Navy Federal, our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. Membership required. Terms and conditions apply. Loan subject to approval.
When you become a member of Navy Federal Credit Union, life gets better. You know, buying a car is seldom easy, and it's so hard lately, isn't it? There's so many difficulties when trying to buy a car. Stomaching the cost of the car, dealing with sellers that don't want to budge. That's why Navy Federal has created a fully loaded car buying experience so you can finance, buy, protect, and enjoy your auto purchase all from one convenient place, making it so much easier. They have pre-approval. It's good for 90 days. So you know what you can afford while you shop. They offer great auto loan rates. You can shop for new and used cars with Navy Federal's car buying service powered by TrueCar, something I've used myself and have saved thousands of dollars using that. It's amazing. You can also get exclusive member savings with Carfax, SiriusXM, and more. They're always available with 24/7 member service representatives to answer any questions. Learn more at NavyFederal.org/carbuying. Credit and collateral subject to approval. Navy Federal Credit Union's federally insured by NCUA.
Hey there, Stackers. I'm Hobbit Smell-alike and Indiana Jones of this basement, Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. In September of 1915, this landmark went up for auction and was purchased by Sir Cecil Herbert Edward Chubb, a name about which I assure you I have no joke to make. It was assigned the name Lot 15 and sold for £6,600. So, which archaeological treasure was privately owned as recently as 1915? Stonehenge. And now, to help you focus your energy, whether you want to get ahead in your career or reclaiming the ancient home of 12 dwarves, let's say hello to Richie Norton.
Richie Norton joins me. How are you, man?
I'm so good. This is going to be so much fun.
It is going to be fun. The second that you said you could do this, I was like, oh, we're going to have a blast. I told our showrunner, Brooke, I'm like, this is going to be great.
So nice of you.
Well, I'm all about reclaiming my time. And I think this idea of trading hours for time is kind of outdated. But for you, I got to think, anybody that's working on a project like this, Richie, this isn't like, hey, let's do a book about anti-time management. Like, there's got to be a reason. I'm thinking that you must have tried it some of the traditional ways and it just didn't work.
Well, that's for sure. I'll take you way back when I was 16 years old, I told my dad that I wanted a job in the summer. And my dad, he's an entrepreneur. He's like, you don't want a job. I'm like, what? Like, worst dad ever. Why would you? What dad tells their kid not to get a job? I was like, it's like lazier.
Be lazier. Yeah.
It's not what you do. And I'm like, yeah, but I want to make money. You know, I want to spend my own money. I want to do my own thing. And I'm from San Diego. He says, go to El Centro and ask the watermelon farmers if you can buy their irregular size watermelons from them.
What?
At a discount. Because he knew somehow they can't sell them to the grocery stores. And so they just have them. And so I'm like, okay. So me and my brother, who was 14, we got in like the family van, took out the car seats. My dad gave us some seed money. And we fill up the van with these watermelons. We sold them on the 4th of July, set up a little table at the park, basically just called all of our friends' parents and said, you know, will you buy these watermelons? They look weird, but they're really big and they're delicious. Anyways, I made more money in one day than I would have made the entire summer working minimum wage.
Wow.
And it changed the way I thought. He didn't have to teach me anything. He has told me this is a way. It was a way I didn't know existed. So it changed the way I do everything. And, you know, over time, I don't know, I'm not always thinking about this watermelon story, but I'm like looking back, like, where did I get these ideas? But, you know, when I first got married, I'm like looking around at successful people and I'm asking them about how do you balance your time? And at the end of the day, they were saying you don't. Even very wealthy people, millionaires, some billionaires I happen to meet, you can't. And I realized that they would sacrifice their family while telling themselves they were doing it for their family. I was like, I'm not going to do that. That sounds like a road to tragedy. And over my short time, just trying to put some ideas into place, my brother-in-law passed away at the age of 21 in his sleep. And it shook us. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, in addition to all the sadness, I was like, you know what? You don't necessarily live till you're 65. And you don't necessarily get to spend all your time working to one day live that dream. A few years later, my son passed away. He caught pertussis, my fourth son. When he passed, my wife and I are just like, this is too much. You know, her brother passes away. My son passes away. And I was like, what are we working for anyways? And then some other things happened. We had some foster kids come into our lives. We were going to adopt them. We had them for 2 years. They went back to bio mom, which is wonderful for her, but also there was a reason, you know? So it was a very scary situation. And the pain of losing those children was so much. In fact, at one point, we don't know if this is directly related, but my wife had a stroke and she lost her memory. Hmm. And fortunately, it came back. But now I'm like, people I love are dying. People I love are leaving. My wife's losing her memory. And later, my son gets hit by a car crossing, one of my other sons crossing the street. And I was like, he's okay. But when all this stuff happens, anyone who's experienced any kind of tragedy, no matter how small the pain, they realize real quick, I'm not working for the sake of working. I'm working for something else. So to kind of sum it up, I wrote this other book called The Power of Starting Something Stupid. And it was about embracing these ideas and letting them do their thing. And what I realized is people would start these stupid ideas and they'd be successful only to realize it wasn't what they actually wanted. They wanted what they thought would come from the success of doing that thing. So anti-time management, to answer your question, addresses that issue. How do you bake in freedom from the start? If you bake a cake without sugar, it's not going to suddenly be sweet. You have to do the work with the values from the start.
It's funny. It reminds me of your whole book reminds me, by the way, Richie, of Stephen Covey and 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And, you know, begin with the end in mind, right? I mean, we build these traps for ourselves. You talk a little bit about, you got this little section in the book about these, you know, billionaires that have, that are just trapped. They have no time, no energy because they're constantly feeding the beast that they built for themselves, this trap they built.
It's true. And Stephen Covey is a mentor of mine, by the way, before he passed. And Stephen M. R. Covey, his son, you know, endorsed
this
book.
He's so great.
You know, you know these guys too. Okay, very good.
Sure.
Yeah, they're amazing. But there's one thing that people don't talk about. When he says begin with the end in mind, he did not say begin with means in mind. And if you look at anyone setting goals, focusing on their strengths, and even, heaven forbid, blasphemy, focusing on their habits, you'll realize that these are means, not ends. They made them ends unto themselves. I'm saying look beyond goals, look beyond habits, look beyond strengths, because those are tools that can be interchanged. Go to the where you really want to be and start from there. Literally start there from the start, and then you'll know what tools, what habits, what means to use. This is an important distinction.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I feel like you nail your thesis with the quotes throughout the book that begin each chapter, but the quote that begins the entire book, I want to read this for everybody, and I'd like you to expand it for me. This is, I believe it's E. Cummings. "I rise in the morning torn between a desire to improve or save the world and a desire to enjoy or savor the world. This makes it hard to plan the day." Like, I'm like, yes, I want to have fun and I want to get ahead. And how the hell do I make those two things meet?
I mean, even today, you know, I live in Hawaii, so I literally can walk outside and walk on the beach and go surfing and walk my dog and do all these things.
Now you're just rubbing it in. Just like, yeah.
I'm just rubbing it in. But then at the same time, it's like, but then I have to do all these other things, and how should I spend my time? And, you know, and it's not just like, I don't want to do it if it's not fun, right? So there's a way to figure this out. But even if you're just like putting the time and doing the work, I just found in hundreds of interviews that people will say they need more time, more education, more experience, and more money, only to find out that when they finally get there, years later, they still need more time, more education, more experience, and more money. And this is just too real. So the answer in anti-time management is to begin with not just the end in mind, but beyond what you think the end is. In other words, Aristotle called it final cause. The idea of final cause is that there's four causes. You need this material, you need this design, you need this person or this agent to make it happen, and you eventually have the thing. Academics will use the example of a table. So they'll say, to make a table, you need wood, you need design, you need a person to make it, then you have a table. But if you were to ask yourself what the purpose of the table is, you might realize you don't need the table at all, and that you spent all your time building a table, all your money building a table, when you could have done Uber Eats, when you could have gotten Thai food from the food truck across the street. You start realizing that your whole life, this is a metaphor, you start realizing that your whole life you spent your time doing things you thought you needed to do, but you never did. This is what we're talking about.
It's so powerful. And to show just how powerful it is, you have one more story to begin the book, which is this woman, Sarah, S-I-R-A-H. Can you tell us about her?
Yeah, Sarah is amazing. Her rapper name is Syra. I met her when I was giving a TEDx talk in Moldova. I was also there with USAID speaking to entrepreneurs or would-be entrepreneurs. She shows up to speak at TEDx, and I'm just like, what's your story? She's a Grammy Award-winning rapper. And I'm like, how'd you do this? She explains that, I'm not going to give it justice because it's so impactful. She had a rough childhood. Her dad was constantly on drugs. She was selling her toys to get money so that her dad could buy more drugs. Her dad passes away of what I believe is an overdose. She ends up homeless at some point. You know, she's has these horrible experiences, raped, you know, just all the things you would never want to have happen. Then she has this voice in her head that tells her she needs to go become a rapper. And she goes to one of those places where you stand on stage and you rap. And if you're good, they go, yeah. And if you're not, they boo you off the stage. She got booed off the stage. I think it was, she did every Thursday. She got booed.
And for most of us, by the way, not to cut you off, Richie, right there, but I just want people, as they're hearing this, to hear kind of what I was thinking. This is where most of us quit, right? This is where most of us go, yeah, I'm done. I'm out.
And also what's really interesting is where most of us go too is, okay, let's just think of, we're all in different situations. But for many people, the path to become an artist or to become a professional is to go to school. I'm not saying school is not good. I'm saying she didn't have the opportunity to go do these recitals, to have a chart that said you're going to do this and then that and then this, and then you're going to get a gold star. She had to become it before she became it.
She made those Thursdays her school, really.
There you go. And people started coming out of the woodwork to help her. So someone said, hey, what are you doing? This is like silly. And she's like, well, what do you mean? And we'll teach you how to rap. And they taught her. Over time, she eventually figured it out. She started meeting people, started getting on different stages, started in different gigs, and she eventually won a Grammy Award. So the idea was, it's not I will, it's I am. And that's a real thing. Because what sometimes do, as I think of the juxtaposition of a boss in a corner office with the room dark, with dark glasses on, playing solitaire every day for 20 years, waiting to be promoted, because that is the other option.
Oh, oh, yeah. Sitting in my office waiting for a 3% cost of living raise, or yeah.
3% cost of living raise, when if you quit your job today, you'd probably get $10,000 or $20,000 more instantly at a new job, or even more possibly if you start your own thing. So yes, that is time tipping. She'd either be dead on the street, sadly, or she would have remained homeless for who knows how long, or she could have stepped up. And some of these examples, mine, hers, others, they could be considered extreme. But grief is grief. It's a tunnel, not a cave. And it's not about just like moving on and forgetting it. It's about moving forward, deciding who you want to be in the future and acting from that future, not endlessly toward it. Goals from the past, to me, goals that you've already done, goals from experience are tasks. Goals that are outside experience are growth. And that's where people are scared to play, but that's where you need to play if you want to tip time.
Where do we begin though? Somebody sitting here listening to you and I right now, job one for them right now would be to do what?
I'll be super real. If you need money, focus on obviously making money. But this will become something that never ends. Even millionaires who could have all the time in the world have decidedly made themselves strapped to a swivel chair forever. So you got to prioritize based on your needs. If you are in a situation, and everyone is, it's a choice. It's something you can think of. It's something you can think beyond. You can figure out how to get stuff done and have a dream. This is all real stuff. Ask yourself who you want to be in 2 years. Once you decide who you want to be, you'll know what to do. Because when you decide who you want to be in 2 years, you can actually find ways to become that person in 6 months and right now. The reason I say 2 years is because if you say 10 years, it's a really far distance. It's possible, but you're more likely to get that 10-year dream in 2 years or get that dream in 10 years by focusing on it in 2 years, 1 year, 6 months. The reason is because of this. Think about who you were 10 years ago. We're recording this in 2022. In 2012, who were you? You were a different person in a different place, different money situation, different work. Everything was different. You don't even want your 2012 goals anymore. That is what we're talking about. So to start, you break down to four parts, personally, professionally, because money and meaning can go together. They don't have to be separate. People in my life, play, things that are exciting. And when you come up with your top four things, you create kind of a North Star effect. You can make all your decisions from these things. Will it lead me closer to them? Does it make them happen? Or lead me further away? You need to create projects around them. I'm going to do a project for money, a project for fun, a project with my family, a project for my personal stuff. And they stack. So one decision can impact them all at the same time. This isn't just philosophical, even though it sounds philosophical when I'm saying it. This is something you can actually do right now.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, Richie. I'm thinking this is very tactical because as you're talking, I'm trying to put this into a process. And this is not about a better calendar. This is about blowing up your calendar and starting with those values and working backward.
Yeah. There's a couple ways you can think about that. So I like to say sometimes a full calendar is an empty life. And people go, what? Well, because if you have an empty calendar, it means that everything's been handled. No one is more productive than a procrastinator with an impending deadline.
I feel like you're looking at me. Are you looking at me?
You're right, to your point. If you're going to fill your calendar up, you might as well fill it up with the stuff you like and want to do, not the stuff you feel like you have to do and don't like it. Because you can delegate, outsource that stuff. And you're like, I really have to do it. Fine, do that. But everything that you put in that is your actual priority, because since we were kindergartners, we were taught that priorities last on a timeline, even though priority means prior, to proceed, to proceed. It's weird. It's just weird. So you do this calendar and you fill it up with all the stuff you don't necessarily have to do, but you think you do. And you leave your actual values on the fringe. You can switch that, reverse it. And you go, well, I don't have enough time for that. You know what? That's the point. you will start crowding out distractions for the crap you don't have to do anymore.
Yeah.
And do the things that actually matter, because as a responsible person, you're going to get it done either way.
This sounds like a big transition for some people. You know, people are naturally afraid. We're all afraid of change, which is funny because this has been a constant my entire life, Richie, that I've had to lead teams, and everybody's afraid of the one constant we know is coming, which is change, right? Change is going to happen. But what do you say to these people that either say they're not ready or they're afraid to move?
I understand it. I'm scared every day. You know, I think we're all scared, and it's not fun to be scared. But if you don't feel that little ting of scared, I mean, are you doing what you really want to do anyways? Or are you just going through the motions? And when you're prioritizing your family or personal values and these things first, the pain of it goes away. A mama bear will sacrifice her life for her cubs. If your dream is big enough, all the other stuff that you're scared of goes away. It doesn't go away, but you're able to handle it because you're bigger than it. Your reason is bigger. Let me say it this way. People will constantly turn to time management to fix things. And it's weird because time management, if you go into history, it's a design. It's a tool. It was never designed to give people freedom. It was designed specifically to measure every drop, blood, and sweat and tears of workers. Management by definition means control. Man, manual, mono, to control by hand. It was actually a word to describe how to control horses, a manger where you go to feed the cattle. A manager is one letter away. This is work through management. So you go like, I'm not saying, like you go, what, my company? Go, yeah, corporations are going to do what they're going to do. They've been doing it for 200 years, my friend. Oh, they want me to come back to the office. Of course they do. Why wouldn't they? Like, don't be an idiot. Like, of course they do. Well, what are we going to do? So you get to decide what you want to do. That's the blessing, because there are other jobs that don't require you to go in. You get to choose.
What's very powerful about that is then it becomes, the fear melts away, because it you're more fearful of standing in place. Like all these things you're talking about your brother-in-law and your son and all of these things that have happened. Like if I don't design that life today, I should be more afraid of that than, you know what I mean? About staying where I am and not taking advantage of that time. I want to ask you one more question here, which is, I have a set of things that are my big four. My spouse, Cheryl, might have four others. People I'm around might have their own. What if my outcomes don't jive with the people around me?
Oh, no one's asked me that question before. I love that question. And let's do it specifically. You can do it with a business partner or a significant other, but let's just say your spouse. Well, first of all, they're like, oh, we have to be the exact same person. No, you're different people. My wife loves Pilates. I want nothing to do with that. You know what I mean? I want nothing to do with that. Right? But if she understands my goals 100% and I understand her goals 100%, even if they're different, in that way, we are on the same page. And there will be some crossover, of course, but in that way, we are on the same page. I mean, imagine if you had someone in your life supporting you 100% and you also supported them 100% and you weren't talking about compromise. You're talking about thinking differently. How can we do it all? You can't do it all. Well, what if we did X, Y, Z to make this bad thing not happen by next Tuesday? Well, let's start there. Like, it's a different level of thinking, and it requires that to do something different.
And how fun is it to help her get hers while she's helping you get yours? Like, to be, you know, people with different dreams. But I mean, that gives you a whole nother meta level of help. I want to end with this image, which is one that begins the third chapter of the book. And from here, by the way, guys, this is where Richie really starts to build the machine and shows you the tactics of working through how to do this reorganization that we're talking about. You say, build the castle, then the moat. And I love this imagery, but can you explain to everybody what the hell that means?
Yes, I can. If you've ever seen a castle on TV or in person, many of them have this moat around it. So I'm using the castle and the moat. The castle representing the dream, the lifestyle you want. The moat representing strategic and economic ways to support the castle or the dream. So what most people do, and most is with emphasis, they start with the moat, the work, dreaming of the castle, and they never get there. And by the way, that was by design of corporations. This is by design. This is on purpose. Now, I know it's a different world in the 21st century, but we're still thinking with these 20th century management philosophies. So the idea is if you start with the castle and you build the dream and work from the dream, not toward it, from it, you can create strategic and economic moats around it to support it so that your professional priorities support your personal ones, which is a way better way than the way you're currently likely doing it, sacrificing your personal priorities for your professional ones. That's weird. Life's short.
Well, yeah. And I think about some of the, you know, when you track public companies and you track their stocks, what do you track? I mean, some of the big things are worker output, right? Output per worker, like how efficient workers are. Corporations want you to stay on the treadmill. I mean, that's what we measure. We measure the treadmill, and you're talking about getting off it, which I enjoy because I don't know, we're big fans of Vicky Robin here. I don't know if you're familiar with Vicky Robin, but this idea of trading time for money is a trap, and it's very synergistic with, I think, Richie, what you're talking about. The book is Anti-Time Management, Reclaim Your Time and Revolutionize Your Results with the Power of Time Tipping. And I'm assuming it's available everywhere.
It's available everywhere. Grab it right now. It would mean the world to me. And honestly, this is a great interview. You made this so fun. Thank you, man. This is really good. I really appreciate it.
How can I not have fun hanging out with Richie Norton? I mean, that's my question, right? Thanks a lot, man.
No, so good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, this is Lou Mangiello from WDW Radio, and when I'm not at Walt Disney World or sharing my passion for Disney World or eating, I am stacking Benjamins.
Big thanks to Richie for sharing his story, and OG, losing a child, losing family members, such a difficult way to realize that you need to think about time differently. But I think for all of us, there's this wake-up moment where you're like, you know what? My enemy is not having enough money. My enemy is not having enough time.
Yeah. I mean, if it were all money, right? You know, you take a look at, pick somebody, Jeff Bezos, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, you know, Warren Buffett, Charlie Munger. Here, let's use Charlie Munger because he's older. What is he, 98 years old? He's got however much billions and billions and billions of dollars. Anybody want to trade with him? Trade lives right now? Probably not, right?
Oh, and become 98 years old?
Yeah.
Instantly?
Yeah. So what's more important? Time, right? Now you got to have money. You got to practice sound financial management over your life in order to like kind of make that time less stressful for sure. But the pursuit of more and more and more and more and more, you know, it's a balancing act.
That's a good would you rather question.
Yeah.
Usually the one Joe gives me is like, would you rather spend 2 hours in a dark closet with OG or
go fishing
or go fishing? But I like that. It's tough. Would you rather have billions of dollars, but be 99 years old?
Not a lot of people that would pick that.
I even think back to when I was really struggling and not even living paycheck to paycheck, living day by day with money. I even think then that if I had more time, if I just had some time, I could think longer term where I can actually think about making some money to last versus thinking about my next meal. Because when you think about your next meal, you're going about that in a different way than if you're building something. And I realized even then that I need to build something. So money still wasn't the enemy. Even then it was time. So very frustrating. Manager energy. Big thanks to Richie Norton for coming down to the basement. Hey, let's throw out David Lifeline, guys, and tackle some of life's most important questions. Boy, talk about important questions. I think we just went through that. Our friends at Haven Life Insurance Agency, Doug, they put what you value first.
You know, Joe, just a hug and a nice long hug. We could tell that the other person really means it and they're not just faking it like OG does.
In a dark closet with OG versus fishing.
But just, you know, there's the sympathy hugs where you get the kind of the around the back pat, pat. But sometimes you just want that really good one.
The long, tender embrace.
The long, tender embrace.
The sympathy hug is like the boss golf clap. The
bro hug.
Yay. Yeah.
Hey, the side hug. Little,
yes.
You're not a bro hug guy. You're a holder. You like to linger on the hug. You're the uncomfortable hugger.
It's all time and place, situational, right? But I mean, once in a while, you just need that.
The waiter's like, I get it. You're here every Thursday afternoon for lunch. We're not that close.
Dude, it's shrimp appetizer. Calm down. Don't have to hug me just because you got the larger beer. Yeah, good stuff. It's actually your loved ones in your time, but your loved ones in your time with a hug, I think, Doug, is a nice
I don't think I was far
sentiment.
Off.
No. And you know what, Doug? That right there. That's why they've been buying quality term life insurance. Actually simple. Hello. Head to StackyBenjamins.com/HavenLife now for a free quote. Haven Life, they're committed to offering a modern way to buy life insurance. I just saw our good friend Matt OG at FinCon from Haven Life. Matt says hello. He also said that all their policies are issued by parent company Mass Mutual, more than 160-year-old insurer. You're not going to have to wait several weeks for a decision, and that they have really awesome customer support. He said all that exactly the way I just said it. It might not be true, but we did talk about some cool things that Haven Life's doing that we'll bring to these microphones in the next few weeks. But for now, let's bring to the microphone the guy we're throwing out the lifeline to today, and that is Peter from Australia. Oh, before I do that, I should say StackyBenjamins.com/HavenLife is where you go. Get your life insurance done, people, and then listen to Peter from Australia.
G'day, mate. My name's Peter from Australia. So I'm down here in my Speedo about to put a shrimp on the barbie and, crikey, I spilled a Foster's all over my financial plan. Anyway, both my little Joeys have left the pouches.
Wait, before we finish this, is he from Australia or?
Charlevoix?
I felt like it was a little... There was also a little Mississippi thrown in there.
He's from South Australia. Bible Belt down by Melbourne.
I didn't hear it. I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't hear that.
Anyway, we'll finish. Let's finish.
We say down here in Australia. Not only that, but they both graduated from Brisbane University, which is definitely a real university. Very proud of them as they're both off to work now.
It's Colonel Sanders.
One is designing blooming onions at Outback Steakhouse, and the other is protecting babies from dingoes. But here's my question. I've got too many dollars left in their 529 plan. What should I do with all those jolly green giants I got stashed away in there? And don't forget about my free t-shirt. I'm an XL in the chest and biceps and a small in the waist. Have you got one of those? Send it straight away.
I got some East Coast.
Then
I got
a little bit of. Was there a Scottish?
Got some Scotland.
Maybe his parents are very diverse. They're from different.
Multinational.
Such a smorgasbord of accents. It was hard to.
The fact that they come in and out is the weird piece. I've never heard.
I don't think it's appropriate for us to be speaking ill of a listener who's calling in with a very serious question.
And the question is
just wants a T-shirt. He just wants a t-shirt. You can tell.
The question. I just figured out the game. Is this one good enough for a t-shirt? I don't know. What I do know is, oh, gee, this is a very good question.
It's definitely good enough for a t-shirt. Send the damn t-shirt.
This is a very good question, which is, you got money left in the 529 plans. The kids, hypothetically, the Fintern, we'll call them, and maybe the former intern, Tucker the intern, have left the nest for Peter in Australia. There might be some money left.
Oddly specific example to choose.
Might be some money left in the 529 plan. What do you do?
Well, there's a couple of things that you can do. Firstly, if you have an expenses that you didn't expense, so to speak, to your 529, you can kind of use that. But it's only going to be, you know, only if you haven't used it. If you take the money out, you're going to pay taxes on the amount that you grew it by. So whatever the profit is, plus a penalty for not using it for school, which could be okay. If you invested a long time ago, it could be, you know, just a capital gains tax plus 10% and, you know, off you go. It's your money. You could leave it and use it for some other purpose, grad school, law school, medical school for those kids, or change it to your name and go to cooking school or Spanish school or whatever you want to do. I think probably the best thing, if you have the flexibility financially, is let it sit there. I don't mean let it sit there in cash, get it back invested. Cause if you've followed what we talk about from a 529 standpoint, it's probably pretty conservative by the time your kid gets done with school, right? So as you get closer and closer to using the money, it gets more and more conservative. and then you don't need the cash. So it's probably sitting there very conservative. We'll get it back invested. And now let's think about it as that kid's education, family kind of trust account, if you will, because you can change the beneficiary to, you know, to another person down the line. And if you have a child that is just done with school, maybe they don't have any kids yet. Maybe they're not even thinking about having any kids. I mean, it could be 20, 30 years of that money sitting there growing before, you know, the next generation needs it. So
that's super exciting.
If you have the financial flexibility, I would say leave it.
Yeah, that could be super exciting for a family. We talk about, you know, building generational wealth, giving the next generation a head start on their education, OG. Pretty cool gift.
Yeah, there are some people that think that the way school is structured is going to be a lot different in the future. I kind of agree with that, like in terms of costs and that sort of thing. We've seen a lot of, I don't know, for lack of a better term, revolution on that. So I think it will be different, but still it's, you know, if you don't need the money, it's still tax deferred until you decide to use it in the future. So there's no harm in letting it sit there. You can, it's hard to get back in. It's easy to take
out. Is there a specific age that you have to change up beneficiaries by or change the ownership by?
No, you're going to want to work with your tax person and your estate planning attorney if you wanted to change the ownership, because that's kind of more complicated, because that kind of sounds a lot more like a gift type of thing. But technically, if you think about it, the money is already a gift and it technically is owned by the person. It's a unique type of account in that if you did the same thing with an UTMA account, right? So you said, I'm going to put $5,000 a year into my kid's UTMA, which existed prior to 529s, at 18, the money becomes the kids, right? And you just hope that they use it for college. In a 529, the money always stays yours, but it's not yours. it's theirs, but you're the owner, but you can't use it, but you can direct it, but you really can't. You know, it's a smorgasbord of tax law. So if you did want to change the ownership, make sure you get with your attorney and tax person before you do that, because there'll be some ramification perhaps, but you can change the beneficiary once a year, anybody you want. Well, not anybody. It's got to be within an extended family tree, but basically anybody.
Doug, just a random question for you. Are there any other questions you think Peter maybe should have asked that he didn't ask?
I don't have any insight into Peter's really smart brain, but no, I think OG covered it. There's no time expiration. Like, it could sit there for 50 years.
So far, there's no time expiration. Could sit there for 50 years.
Until highly, I would imagine this is something that's highly subject to, you know, laws that get passed.
Yeah, I mean, like everything, generally.
I wouldn't bank on the future, the law being changed if you're already in there. I mean, there's only been a couple times in history where you weren't, quote, grandfathered in with money that was already there.
It's such a new product, you know, relative to the expanse of time. I mean, look at 401ks are still barely 50 years old at this point.
Next question I have, OG, which is a tough one, is how long does it take us to get a t-shirt to Australia, especially when we don't know the address? Peter didn't leave his address.
Yeah, or email probably. It's virtually impossible. So
we got to work on this. Can we get Gertrude on this? Somebody, we got to track down.
Have her Ida. Waste her valuable time. Peter.
Yes.
You know, I think he's just happy enough that we answered it. We should probably just let that one go.
Thanks for the question, Peter.
What do I have to do to get a t-shirt?
Wherever you are, Peter. Thank you. Doug's random blow up. We apologize for that, Peter. Thanks for the question. If you've got a question, you want us to throw out the Haven Lifeline to you, StackyBenjamins.com/voicemail is the place to go. And if you leave us your address and are truthful about who's calling in, well, then we'll send you a t-shirt. It's fantastic. Hey, that's going to do it for this show. We've got a bunch of fun stuff happening here in the basement coming up, beginning again this week on Wednesdays. Today, this afternoon, we are going to have an Instagram Live. I often head to Instagram, sometimes talking about fintech, sometimes talking to guests of the show. We're also going to be an OG Fireside just reopened up. We're not going to be doing the show anymore on Fireside. However, some of our headline interviews, if you want to talk to some of our headline people, the 201 is a great place to be our newsletter, because we will be emailing people to tell you when we're going to be doing these interviews, and you can ask some of these experts. We normally have a lot of our experts in our headline segment. We'll be talking to them on Fireside. We'll do the interview for the headlines that you'll hear pieces of in the show, but then you can also ask them whatever questions you may have. So stackybenjamins.com/201 for that, and join me on Instagram this afternoon. If you hit the follow button, it'll let you know when we go live. Last, but definitely not least, if you're concerned about the market and the chatter around recession, well, OG and his team have put together a free guide that shares 8 moves to make in a down market. And this guide will help you plan more and panic less, no matter what the market does. So head over to stackybenjamins.com/guide and get this helpful free guide from OG. Thanks for that, Mr. OG. That's going to do it for today. Coming up on Friday, Caleb Gilliams joins us, as well as who is our contributor who's going to be helping us out on Fridays while Paula Pant is away for the next 9 or 10 months. We're going to have both Caleb, who brought it the first time he was here from Better Wealth. Just fantastic young man, OG. Just a fantastic young man. Quality dude. And Diana Miriam joins us, mom's cousin Diana, and the mystery person who's going to be with us for the next 9 or 10 months. That's going to do it for today. Hey, Doug, I got a question for you, man.
What's your question, Joe?
What should we have learned today?
Well, Joe, first, take some advice from Richie Norton. Stop prioritizing your time and start prioritizing your focus. Second, does the investment you want have the word leveraged in it? Time to do some studying before pressing that buy button, or, you know, just walk away. But the big lesson? I didn't know you could buy Stonehenge. I'm going to go get on eBay and see what else I can grab. Let me see here. Cliffs of Insanity. Nope. Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. No. King's Landing. Oh, God. Oh, but wait. It says here, I can buy the Statue of Liberty. It's only 6 inches tall? I could have sworn it was taller than that. It looks taller than pictures. Thanks to Richie Norton for joining us today. You can find his book, Anti-Time Management, anywhere you waste your time. We'll also include links in our show notes at stackingbenjamins.com. This show is the property of SB Podcasts, LLC, copyright 2022, and is created by Joe Saul-Sehy. Our producer is Karen Repine. The show is written by the brilliant Paulette Perhatch, with help from Joe, me, and Doc G from the Earn and Invest podcast. After you listen to our show, check out the 201 Deep Dives, written by our website manager and blog editor, Brooke Miller. You'll find the 411 on all things money at the 201. Just go to stackingbenjamins.com/201. Once we bottle up all this goodness, we ship it to our engineer, the amazing Steve Stewart. Steve helps the rest of our team sound nearly as good as I do right now. Want to chat with friends about the show later? Mom's friend Gertrude is our social media coordinator and the room mother in our Facebook group called The Basement. So, say hello when you see us posting online. Here's a weird fact. Both she and Tina Eichenberg are never in the same room at the same time. To join all the basement fun with other stackers, type stackingbenjamins.com/basement. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and we'll see you next time back here at the Stacking Benjamin Show. Not only should you not take advice from these dorks, don't take advice from people you don't know. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any financial decisions, speak with a real financial advisor.
with summer coming to a close, maybe closed, it's feeling very fallish here in Texarkana. Can't wait to get the solo stove out. I'm watching like the low temperatures because I just...
The solo stove is replacing the trip to Bavaria story or the Citadel.
We got a solo stove. If you want to sponsor this,
really, Joe has a solo stove?
Solo stove goes, hey, we're getting the milk for free.
This is the first I've heard of it.
Not sure we need to endorse the cow there, Joe. But I do love my solo stove, and that is not a paid endorsement. But I will say this, it's also the time when theme parks are, you know, life is changing. The day after FinCon, as a guy who plays an extrovert and truly needs time alone, one of my favorite places to go to be alone is in a huge crowd of people at Disney. What's your favorite roller coaster, OG?
At Disney?
Anywhere. Yeah, just anywhere.
Well, I haven't been to Cedar Point in probably 25 years, so I got to take all those off the board. But probably the Snow White ride.
Oh,
our Toy Story is pretty good.
It's so fun. Yeah, the Toy Story ride is great as well.
Like with the little shooter things.
Doug, have you ridden any roller coasters lately or been to a theme park?
I love roller coasters, actually. And the last time I've been to a theme park, FinTurn was really young. That was kind of crimping my ability to get on roller coasters. I went to one at
Wally World.
Yeah, I went to Wally World.
And you rode it with the security guard?
Big heavy dude next to me.
John Candy. Yeah. So good.
I like roller coasters a lot. It's been so long. I couldn't tell you, like, if I put a name out there, aficionados would scoff.
I got to tell you, there's a roller coaster, the new roller coaster at Epcot, Guardians of the Galaxy roller coaster. I have never ridden a ride that is a roller coaster like this. I've never ridden one this good. I've heard the Velociraptor over at Universal's fantastic, but this roller coaster, you know, they have those roller coasters where, you know, and these are at like carnivals where they take the bucket the riders are in and they set it loose. So when it goes around a corner, the bucket kind of starts spinning. So you got the roller coaster moving and the bucket that you're sitting in spins. This is not like that, but the bucket you're sitting in still does move differently than the roller coaster does, but it does it with, I don't know, like a motor or something. So the roller coaster is going in a straight line and all the riders will turn to the left or they'll turn to the right. You'll go around a corner. And sometimes when you go around to a corner goes to the right, you will go to the left so that you get this completely different feeling when you go around the corner. Or maybe you'll go harder to the right where you feel like you're really leaning into it. That part is really cool. What's even more cool is when you go into this roller coaster, there's this whole thing about the planet that they're from and that there's this big bad guy who's taken over the planet. And during the pre-show, they have you in this room where they're going to beam you up to their spaceship. And you're standing in this room and then these lights come on above you and you see, you know, there's all these noises and all this stuff like you're about to be beamed up. And then the lights go out and they go, it was successful. And the lights turn back on and you are in a completely different room. Like the room has completely changed around you. It was the most bizarre thing the first time I went through it because everything just changed. You totally feel like you're in a completely different place. You get on the roller coaster. There's this big, big bad guy on this huge screen in front of you and the Guardians of the Galaxy show up. This is right at the beginning of the ride. And your little bucket turns around so it's faced backwards. So you're watching it behind you, this big guy who's about to kill the Earth. And at the last second, he says, what's that horrible noise? Like in this horrible, you know.
Australian accent.
A horrible Australian accent, right? That sometimes is Midwestern, sometimes Southern, sometimes British. You don't know.
I think I'm going to need that hug.
What's this horrible noise? Then the main guy, Star-Lord, says, what do you mean horrible noise? That's rock and roll. And there's no way in hell you're ever going to kill rock and roll. And a song starts. And this is where the ride guys gets really cool. It's a different song every time that they play. The first time I wrote it, I was rocking out to Blondie in my ears, One Way or Another. And they've got, you know, the characters are going on and there's supposedly some plot. All I'm doing is rocking out to Blondie while this roller coaster is going around. And it was so damn fun. And then the second time it was Disco Inferno. There's few things more fun than riding this roller coaster. It was such a surprise. Like the ride starts, it's different every time. And there's things that happen during the ride. Sometimes the ride stops, sometimes it doesn't. It was two different rides. I rode it twice. It was amazing. If you get a chance, OG, to get to Epcot, or Doug, you get a chance to get to Epcot, not only can you drink your way around the world like you did last time.
Oh, I'm in now.
Oh, there's nothing more fun. OG knows this, than drinking your way around the world at Epcot.
Except the sake. That is nasty.
You could have said no. You could have said no. But OG's not a quitter. They can't see your head shaking no.
OG, I know you're already a member, but I wonder if the rest of our audience knows that becoming a member at Navy Federal Credit Union could help you save and earn more. Their certificate options could earn you more than standard savings accounts with competitive rates. Not all financial institutions offer you as many choices for savings options as Navy Federal does. For example, you could start your savings journey with a low minimum deposit, add money at any time, and watch your savings grow. Thanks to flexible terms, you can use Navy Federal's savings option for all kinds of goals, short or long term. Considering a big home improvement project, maybe you want to consolidate debt. You could borrow up to 100% of your home's equity with a fixed rate home equity loan with zero closing costs, or easily borrow as you go with a home equity line of credit. Both options could help make life's big expenses seem more manageable. To learn more, visit NavyFederal.org. At Navy Federal, our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. Membership required. Terms and conditions apply. Loan subject to approval.